Live, this is WLND Signal Mountain, Chattanooga.
Health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and so much more. Welcome to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake, a production of Whitfield Media Group, with your hosts, Ed Jones, owner of Nutrition World, and Dr. Christopher Green, board-certified medical doctor.
Good morning and welcome to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial, 98.1 The Lake. Thank you for taking your time to join us. We are a radio show that's all about your health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and healthy living. I'm Ed Jones, owner of Nutrition World here in Chattanooga, and normally joining me is Dr. Christopher Green, board-certified medical doctor, CHI Memorial, but he had a great opportunity to take a time off, and we are letting him do that. So joining me is Sean Whitfield, my good buddy, and actually the owner of the radio station?
Producer.
Producer, that's a better word, okay.
We're a team, so happy to be here, and good morning.
Yeah, and good morning to you. As always, you know, part of this is conversations that hopefully will enlighten and help people to learn about health, how to pursue it, how to be better at it, how to live longer with quality lives. Of course, we do know that since about mid-March, it's kind of been, at least a big chunk of this show has been devoted, as most shows, to talking about the virus. And I do have a few numbers here. I want to start being able to give people the other side, which is really not the other side. It should be the side that every media should produce, but they're not. They're leaning too far toward the panic. Well, as of 2 days ago on this show, which was July 22nd, the numbers in Hamilton County are this. 4,100 people have tested positive in Hamilton County. Now, let's unravel that. First off, the statistics say very clearly that 38.5% of all deaths in Hamilton County from COVID is nursing home patients. And I'm not minimizing that in the least. My dad died in a nursing home. It's terribly, terribly painful in every way. Doesn't mean that I'm not so sorry and sad for these people, especially during this time when they can't have loved ones holding their hand as much. However, if we take 38% off of 4,100, let's take it down to 3,000 people. So out of 3,000 people in Hamilton County, because nursing home patients are not really risking us, our children are not risked by it, our daily work life is not going to be around people who have generally been to nursing homes. So we can go down to 3,000 people in Hamilton County. I know enough, and if people have heard enough stories, and I don't believe everything on Facebook, but I know personally as enough stories to know this. We are putting the positive label on way too many people. I had three friends who went to get tested. They stood in line because they filled out the forms, but they stood in line and they got tired of waiting. They left, and a week later they got calls that they were all positive. They never had a damn test. So there's a whole lot of shenanigans going on behind the scenes. Second, I had a person who I know very well who did have test positive, was retested four times before she could go back to her job. Guess what? Counted as four people. So we're down to 3,000 people, really, that we can count positive in Hamilton County. Then you take into account the fact that there is some shenanigans or just maybe unreliability going on with some of the procedures. So we can go from 3,000 to, let's say, 2,500. So out of 2,500 people, really, out of a community of 300,000, if we take in the outlying communities, has been tested positive. Out of that, you know how many has died? This includes the nursing home people, 0.8%. Yes, the paper the other day said that the hospital beds are full or almost full. Well, when you take people who are obese and have blood sugar issues, they are going to be in the hospital with COVID, with the flu, with pneumonia, with kidney stones. You have a list of things that, you know what, Sean, you and I wouldn't be in the hospital because we're not obese. We don't have blood sugar irregularities. We're not on 14 medications. We are generally healthy people. Mm-hmm. So that means that There's a reason for those people to be there that doesn't apply to a lot of people who are listening to this show. So the reason for panic in this town is unfounded to me. Absolutely unfounded. Doesn't mean we don't wear a mask. It doesn't mean we don't practice common sense. It doesn't mean we don't wash our hands. I'm all about that. We've had 41 deaths in this Hamilton County since this whole thing started. And so, again, 38.5% of those is nursing home people. So we're down to about 28 deaths of people who I guess we'd call normal people. And out of 28, 26 of those had two health conditions or more. So we really had two people who died in Hamilton County. And I went to Firebirds 2 nights ago. They had like 6 customers. And the waitress said, it's pathetic. She can't pay her bills. And most restaurants can't with the employees because I don't know. Why are people staying home?
Ed, as you were talking a moment ago, I Googled population for Hamilton County.
Yeah.
367,804 people as of 2019.
Wow.
So almost 368,000. So the numbers are even slimmer.
Yeah, slimmer.
It's percentage of folks this is affected than you thought, because I think you commented somewhere around 300,000.
I thought that because I don't keep up with those numbers. So we really are down to slim numbers. So really 2,500 people have been tested positive. 0.8% has died. That means 99.2% has recovered. Now, some of those are going to have struggles. There's no doubt. I'm not minimizing this issue. I'm in the business of health. And I listen, we have 250 people a day walk in Nutrition World. Well, a whole bunch of those people talk to Edward Jones because I've been around for 42 years. They believe that I know things. I've got experience. So they want to tell me their stories. I've heard every story that any doc has heard, every single one of them. In fact, I probably hear more because I don't have the 7-minute limit. And I will sit down and talk, listen pretty endlessly until the next person needs me or some other chaos at the store. It's not a pleasant thing to have it. Most people are really, it's between a cold and a flu. Some people it's pure like the flu. And then a few people it's severe. I went on This and That, the TV show last week, and I said, vitamin D will minimize the risk of severity of this disease, and Nutrition World is going to give away free vitamin D to all healthcare workers in this city. You know how many people we've had come in, and this has been an ongoing campaign for 2 weeks now. I'd say we've had about 9. Well, that's just disappointing. 9 freaking people is all that has come in to get free vitamin D. And in UK and Britain, the government is giving every single healthcare worker free vitamin D because the research is so clear that it minimizes the lung inflammation of this disease.
Yeah.
And Dr. McCullough says we could flatten this curve in 4 weeks if we could pick one city and everyone take 5,000 units of D, it'd be done. Be done. It would not be any hospitalizations. The hospitals would be empty generally, except for the very bad healthy people. But how many times have we heard the government even start to talk about that? They won't, because they're ruled by pharmaceutical influence, and they simply will not cross that line.
Ed, have you had anybody call or text you or email you that said, hey, I've confirmed I've got COVID. I'm running a fever of 104. What do I do?
We have a decent amount of people who do, and we have to be legally very protective of ourselves. We cannot be treating a disease, mm-hmm. or we get accused of practicing medicine without a license. I'm very cautious about advice. I am a huge believer in educating people. That's why that I will refer them to people that I trust who have posted information on how to do this. We know nutritionally how to stop the lung inflammation, because see, the lung filling with fluid is why it becomes severe. Why is that? Because the immune system overly attacks this virus, and when it overly attacks, fluid is accumulating. That's why people go into the hospital and have all the significant issues. And we know that a few things, like Dr. Roundtree, I love him, and he has spoke endlessly about this. Follow the ABCs. Take large doses of vitamin A, B, large doses of C, very large doses of D, and 2 other things, NAC and quercetin. Those things will help to optimize your health. I can't say treat anything or else I will be in trouble, but they will optimize the ability of your lungs to be healthy. And it's not rocket science. It's respected around the world, but not here unless you're in the group of people who understand that.
Ed, can you define what you mean when you say large dosages of vitamin D?
All I can tell you is when I do it, and when people like Dr. Michael Smith from Life Extension talks about it, Dr. Roundtree talks about it, Dr. Wolfson, a cardiologist, talks about it, we're talking 20 to 50,000 units for about 3 to 5 days. Very large amounts, and yeah. It's every day for 3 to 5 days. Anyone who isn't studied in functional nutritional medicine just shakes their head at that because they don't have a toolbox to understand it. But what that does is it keeps the lungs from overreacting, and it stimulates the immune system to a point where it balances itself. It doesn't make it go overboard. So D is just a miracle substance. It truly is.
Interesting.
Well, believe it or not, brother, it is time to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have a good conversation on dermatology and on melanoma. So stay tuned for that. And we've got that plus more to come for my buddy, Dr. Green, who will be back next week. I'm Ed Jones here with Sean. Stay with us.
You're listening to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake.
Welcome back, and thank you for making us a part of your day. If you're always on the move, download the free radio.com app to your smartphone or tablet. And keep us tuned in on 98.1 The Lake. We are a radio show that's all about your health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and healthy living. I'm Ed Jones, owner of Nutrition World here in Chattanooga, normally with my partner, Dr. Christopher Green, but he's off tonight, and we're here with Sean Whitfield. But we have a very interesting guest tonight. You know, it's always kind of people are afraid of this word, and I think we all need to learn more about it just to ensure that we can take steps toward, not falling prey to it. It is melanoma, and today we have a wonderful guest, Dr. Deanna Brown, a dermatologist with Soussong Dermatology and on the staff of CHI Memorial. Welcome to Vital Health Radio, Dr. Brown.
Thank you so much for having me.
Let's just, start like a beginner here. And I know we've got basically three types of skin cancer, the basal cell and squamous, and then we have melanoma. But tell people more about what they need to know about this, what they need to look for, because this is a very sometimes aggressive pathology that can be deadly. There's no doubt. And we need to always continue to educate people on that. So please inform us, Dr. Brown.
I'd be happy to. So you're absolutely right. Melanoma can be deadly. But the good news is that if we catch it early, when it's detected in its earliest stages, it's highly treatable, and the 5-year survival rate is 98% for those early stages. So what do you need to do to catch a mole early? Melanoma early? What you want to look for? We talk about the ABCs of melanoma. So that's talking about different features of a mole that you might look at on your skin and think, this looks a little funny. Let me look at this little poster. So ABCs, the A is for asymmetry. So that means one half does not look like the other half. They don't match. The B is for border that is irregular or notched or just not like kind of smudged on the edge. C would be for color. So generally, if it's more than two colors, if there's it's very dark black, or sometimes even if there's a more red appearance to it, any of that can be a warning sign. The D stands for diameter, which is 6 millimeters or bigger than about a pencil eraser. And then we add on E. E is for evolving or changing. So that means that the mole has grown, it has changed colors, it has changed shape, anything like that from how it looked when you remembered before. And then I also add in F. Eventually, we're gonna probably get to the Z, so we're going to have the A to Z's of melanoma. But the F stands for funny. So if it feels funny to you, if it's itchy or if it's painful or if it's been bleeding, then that's one other warning sign. And if you find that any of your moles or lesions on your skin fit any of those criteria, or if you just have a bad feeling about it, it's always smart to get to your doctor, get to your dermatologist if you have one, and get it checked out as soon as possible.
That is wonderful advice, because I know some people let things go too long, and I'm not like personally very aggressive about a lot of things, but that is one that I would be, and keeping an eye on that. And do you think people who are really good at looking at their own body, is that enough, or do they actually need to go get a full exam every couple years or something?
There's certainly some benefit to doing your exam every month, and of course that's why we recommend it. And most melanomas, at more than 50%, are found by the patient or a family member themselves. But about 45% of melanomas are found by a physician or a nurse practitioner, PA, somebody who's trained. So absolutely, you still need to be going in on a routine basis to get your mole checked. I think a lot of times the frequency that you need to go in to get checked out depends on your personal risk factors. So if you've had a history of skin cancer or a family member with melanoma, if you've had a lot of moles or a lot of sunburns, then you're somebody who needs to come in at least once a year. If you don't have any of those risk factors, then spreading it out every couple of years is fine. But that's something for you to discuss with your doctor to figure out.
So there is some genetic component to this if you have family members. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct, yes.
Interesting.
Yes, and we find that, you know, we know that sun exposure, and that's one of the things we talk about, of course, but we know that ultraviolet exposure and sunburn plays into melanoma, but really the genetics of it is probably even stronger than that. And, of course, you can't pick your family. You can't adjust that risk factor that you have. You can adjust the other risk factor, which is that ultraviolet exposure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, good. I like all that. That's great advice. Now, I know that you have something coming up called Elizabeth's Outrun Melanoma. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so this is the 8th annual Elizabeth's Outrun Melanoma 5K and walk. And traditionally, this has been held on Mother's Day weekend every year. But this year, of course, with COVID, we postponed it till August, and now we've decided to make it a virtual event. So it's going to be August 15th. That's the official day, Saturday, August 15th. But, of course, since it's virtual, you can run or walk your 5K anytime between August 9th and 22nd and send in your results. And we're really excited to host this every year. It's just been bigger and better. And, you know, it's unfortunate, of course, that a virus has sidelined so many things this year. But we're happy that we can still have an event and we can still raise money for the melanoma program at Memorial and just raise awareness of melanoma.
So people would sign up and they're going to go out on their own in whatever place they choose to go and would time themselves and then send you the results. Is that how it works?
Yeah, that's how it works. You know, if you're not competitive, you just can go out and with kind of an honor system thing where, yeah, okay, I did it. I completed my race, my walk, and, you know, pat yourself on the back. But if you are competitive, you can use a race app. So there are a few different ones like MapMyRun and a few others, I think, that would be able to be used. And it will time you, and you can send in your official time, and we'll let you know how you fared compared to everyone else. I think one of the things that's really cool is, again, you can come out to Enterprise South Nature Park, which is where the race was originally going to be. You could go there, but you could go early in the morning if you wanted. You could go late in the day. You could do it on Friday. You could do it on Sunday. So if the day and time specifically didn't work for you, then you've got some flexibility with that.
That is so cool. I just was wondering when you mentioned it, how do we keep people honest? But on those apps, that's complete honesty, because they're going to obviously mm-hmm. record exactly the distance and the time that you ran. That is a freaking cool idea. I like that.
Yeah, I like it too. I don't know that I'm going to be timing myself this year.
and Ed and Dr. Brown, I've noticed that there's a pretty wide variety of different apps out there. So I guess the organization will accept any app results that they choose?
I think that I have to defer that question. If you have a specific question about which apps are appropriate, then go to the website that we have set up is memorial.org/race. You can either check there or call the office, the foundation office there at Memorial, and they can answer some more questions and make sure everything is set up right.
OK, That's cool. Let me ask a question. I know some people, and I've owned Nutrition World now for 42 years, and we have 250 people a day walk in. I get questions every single 20 minutes. But a lot of people who don't have insurance, what do they do if they want to get checked out? How does that work? Do they just call, make an appointment, or what?
So one place that you can always start is if you do have, even if you don't have insurance, a lot of times you'll have a primary doctor, again, or some other provider who you've seen. And, you know, you can always start there if that's an easy place to go first. And then to get in to see a dermatologist specifically, there are some practices in town, including at Tucson Dermatology. We do see patients who are self-pay and who don't have insurance. And you're able to just call and set up an appointment and say, hey, look, I need a skin exam. I need a full check. I have one spot I'm concerned about. And I know again, at our practice specifically, we want to get you in. We want to help you out. And we can help deal with the financial part of it, as we go. And we've even, partnered with some of the pathology labs that are understanding of people in that same situation. And, with the most important thing, again, we got to catch melanoma early. And that's got to be the focus there. Get in, let's get it taken care of now, because if you wait and get it treated, if we don't find it till it's stage 3 or 4, it's going to be much bigger cost down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. And that doesn't apply so much to the other types of skin cancer, but on this one, it is urgent that you take as much immediate action as you can. And, there's so much that plays into, like you said, genetics is probably at least 50% of it. And I'm just a huge proponent of, nutrition that helps the epigenetics, which is above the gene level, to help maybe silence some of those if you eat extremely healthy. But even some of the healthiest people can have something like melanoma. So to keep an eye out is so, so important in your mirror and, absolutely, getting checks at the right people who you trust. So for people who want to learn exactly more about either melanoma or about this race, what would be the website again? Can you mention that?
The website for the race is www.memorial.org/race. Okay. And if you have any more interest about learning about skin cancers, melanoma, any other type of skin cancer, and on all sorts of other things skin related, the American Academy of Dermatology has a wonderful website, and their website is aav.org. And again, lots of good pictures and information there. And then I do personally also have Facebook and Instagram pages where I frequently post, educational information, pictures, and all of that sort of thing. So that's another place you can go to look.
And how would they find your Facebook?
Yeah, so my Facebook is Deanna Brown, MD, FAAD. FAAD stands for Fellow of the American Academy of Dermatology, and that means I'm board certified. And then my Instagram is DermDocBrown.
Oh, cool. Well, we all are so much into the social media that is sometimes, like, I guarantee you, when people are listening, they'll be looking at their phone that very instant. So
check me out. That's right.
Yep. Well, all right, Dr. Brown, that was so informative, and thank you. And if you're ever out by Nutrition World on Lee Highway, please stop in and see me.
Absolutely.
And bring some of your cards, because sometimes people will forget these things, but yet they remember Nutrition World or they remember Vital Health Radio, but they can swing in, and we try to keep the cards of people who, need to pass that along to other people. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for partnering with us. It's great to have everyone in the community involved.
Well, thank you. And it is time to take another break. When we come back, we'll be talking more about your health and nutrition. That plus everything to come for Dr. Green. He'll be back next week. I'm Ed Jones with my buddy Sean Whitfield. And stay with us.
We're all about healthy living and enjoying life. Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake.
Welcome back, and thank you for making us a part of your day. We are a radio show that's all about your health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and healthy living. I'm Ed Jones with Nutrition World here in Chattanooga, and normally with Dr. Green here, but he is taking the evening off. Thank goodness for him, back here with Sean Whitfield. And I got a several things I kind of want to talk about, Sean, a little bit. I'm always constantly reading and learning about health, especially nutrition, and I guess unconventional ways to manage our health. Because honestly, Father Time is pretty cruel to us once we reach a certain point. And in some people, that point is 40 years old and some 50, but almost everybody is by 60 starting to slide down the slippery slope of Father Time. And I remember being 50, and now I'm 63 in 2 more weeks, actually.
Do you ever go to any class reunions?
No, do not.
That's when you really realize either you're aging well or you're not, is when you see people that you grew up with, graduated high school with, and you come back to a class reunion and go, oh, my goodness. They need to visit Nutrition World.
That's right. Well, I kind of judge my race of aging in the gym. And if I can still continue to do similar to everything I used to do with the intensity, then I feel pretty darn good. The only thing I notice about being 63 opposed to 53, 43, 33, and 23 is my upper body feels exactly like I did at 23, no matter what, but my lower body does not. I do not have the spring that I used to have. I can't run it down up and down steps like young people can or middle age. I'm afraid to fall. And I don't know where that comes from. And I have squatted all my life. I don't squat heavy like you do, but I have squatted intensively. And I just don't know. So I started jumping rope this week again. I had quit that about 2 years ago due to Achilles tendons not being happy, because I had jumped intensely for about 5 years. In fact, one time with Jeff Stiles on the sidewalk of Nutrition World about 15 years ago, I jumped 1 hour straight without stopping in July heat on the sidewalk. I think that one really did my Achilles in pretty harsh. And then I also had a contest that's still kind of way back on Facebook, that I would give people any $100 if they beat my 1 or 2 minute revolutions that I did. And no one ever even came close. So I'm going to try to get back to that.
How's your recovery at your age?
It's great. Absolutely. I'm just blown away. And it has to do with the multiple things I do in a nutrition sense, with what I take, basically. And I do live on a modestly or pretty strong, sometimes keto, low-carb diet. In fact, I started 3 weeks ago becoming extremely strict again, which I have not been probably in a year and a half. And I've actually gained 2 pounds and lost 2 percentage points of body fat. And so to be able to gain muscle and lose body fat without taking steroids is, I'm very pleased with that at my age, for sure. But I want to mention this one article before I forget it. I know you don't hear all the health stories like I do, but there are people who, out of the clear blue, they have a stomach blockage or an intestinal blockage, where it could be food, fiber, just a combination of constipation, and they literally, it's blocked and nothing goes down. Well, guess what? They have done studies on something that can remedy that, and it showed better results than surgery or drugs, and it was Coca-Cola. If you drink Coca-Cola during a blockage, because of the massive corrosive effect of Coca-Cola, it will eat away that blockage. Is that not scary?
No, I mean, it is scary. I had not heard that before.
Yeah, it was actually in the Journal of Alimentary Pharmacology and Therapeutics. And they used Coca-Cola along with the diet version of Coke Zero. And it works the same way as gastric acid. And the carbonation starts helping moving everything along. And so it helps to, they can treat the blockage with lasers, endoscopies, and surgery. But Coke beat all of them. I thought that was very fascinating and very revealing of why we don't want to drink Cokes on a regular basis. Pretty scary. That's something
it just goes to show how strong and toxic that can be.
Absolutely. I do want to say, Dr. Green and I always talk about places we eat. I have gotten hooked on Firebirds.
Really?
Firebirds has a salad called the Cobb salad, and I either get chicken or beef on it. And I'm just like addicted. I've been there 3 times in 7 days. And do you eat there much?
I eat there probably once every 2 or 3 months. My favorite go-to for salad is Jay Alexander's. Do you visit there very often?
I went there too. And it's just not as good as Firebirds to me. But I love Jay Alexander. I love their service. Great tequila. And I do want to say, 2 days ago on Friday, it was National Tequila Day. I did not know.
I saw that.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, most people don't.
Well, there is a Mexican place in Atlanta called Papacitas. Uh-huh. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's my favorite Mexican restaurant on the planet. And there's only one in Atlanta, and most of them are out in the southwest part of the U.S., and I'm on their email list. And so, anyway, they sent out an email blast recognizing National Tequila Day. So, I wondered if you had participated.
If the day ends in Y and it's not Sunday, I will participate. For some reason, Sundays, I just don't want to drink tequila.
Yeah.
I like to try to educate people on things they can use for their own personal health journey, because the thing is, if we don't do something pretty aggressively when we get to a certain point, mm-hmm. you are going to suffer. There's no doubt. You're going to have more aches and pains, less sleep, more anxiety, more depression, more whatever we don't want is going to come sliding in, because the world we live in is quite toxic. There's no doubt. And certainly the stress that we live in is greater than ever.
Yeah.
And so trying to balance that, I did a TV show last week on the microbiome, which is, of course, the probiotics, the gut bacteria. And the reason I did it is because, one is, for people who don't know what it is, I mean, we know about yogurt, we know about probiotics, we know if you take antibiotics, you need to do probiotics. There's so much more to that story than what you're hearing. Well, the facts are this. One, the bacteria in your gut produces 70% of your brain chemicals and 60% of your immune system. So if you don't have the right gut bacteria, you're going to have far more immune dysfunction. It means getting sick, maybe having more severe reactions to viruses, and then thirdly is your brain chemistry. We have a nation full of anxiety-driven and depression-driven people. That's why pharmaceuticals are so popular, because people are trying to hang on with something, so they're going to their doc, and that's the only thing in their toolbox. The docs can't help it. That's what they were trained on. However, the real key to this is stepping back and looking at what caused it, and part of the cause is the imbalance in the gut. Why does that happen? Many reasons, one of which is we've all heard of Roundup. Roundup is the thing we spray on plants to get rid of it. Well, now 50% of all the foods you eat have Roundup. Well, guess what? Roundup was patented in 1978 as an antibiotic. So every food you're eating grown with Roundup, you're basically ingesting an antibiotic. That means that you're terribly destroying the gut microbiome. So on TV, I talked about how do we make this not happen. Well, you can't just eat a cup of yogurt, and you literally can't just take a probiotic pill, because, and I use this analogy, if I came into your office, Sean, and you had carpet on the floor and I brought grass seed in, I could throw grass seed on your carpet and throw some water on it, and they're going to sprout and grow, but they won't grow very long. They will die. That's what happens with probiotics if they don't have what we call prebiotics. Prebiotics are the foods that feed probiotics. What are those? You don't have to purchase anything from Nutrition World to have a prebiotic. They're fiber. And most Americans eat 20 or less grams of fiber per day. Guess what? The cultures of this world who eat 50 plus grams of fiber, their colon cancer is like practically non-existent. They don't have ulcers. They don't have diverticulitis. We are doing these things to ourselves. So if we can increase our fiber and take probiotics of quality origin and eat cultured foods like kefir and real sauerkraut, you're going to start putting that bacteria back in. In fact, when they look at Africans who are still in the jungle setting, they have like 10 times more bacteria within them than we do, and it's very healthy bacteria. And the other thing that I've spoke about, which is the deep dark secret, is if you order probiotics from Amazon or any place, they're worthless. What do you think the summer heat does to a live organism? It kills it. You couldn't order a damn jelly, a goldfish from Amazon, expected to live by the time you got there. It won't. Well, the same with your probiotics. And even at stores, if it's not shipped refrigerated and it's in the summer, it's probably worthless. We get everything shipped in refrigerated. And if we ship out at nutritionw.com, we put an ice pack around it. That's the only ethical way to do it. So I'm just encouraging people, eat more fiber. I love hemp fiber myself, and flax fiber and chia fiber, and then ingest cultured foods, the sauerkrauts, the real ones, maybe kefir, not the flavored ones, too much sugar, and then get a good quality probiotic from whatever source you want to get it from.
You know, I take fiber and I take a probiotic. However, I didn't know the two sort of link together in some ways.
No, yeah, I know. Most people don't. They honestly don't. And I do want to talk real quickly about tuna, because a lot of bodybuilders, a lot of people, a lot of individuals eat tuna, and I used to eat a lot of it. The problem was, I realized about 25 years ago that it's full of mercury. Mercury is a neurotoxin that will lock into your brain and cause memory loss and sometimes neurological diseases. Well, a company that I really, really respect called Consumer Labs finally had the guts to go in and test every brand of tuna. And what they found was, the brand names, I want to show you here. Okay, the highest mercury in tuna is Bumblebee Solid Core, Vital Choice, Wild Planet, and Chicken of the Sea, and Kirkland. Well, guess what? Kirkland, let's see, that's Costco, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's their private label.
They have in the red area of mercury. Never would I give that to, especially children and pregnant women. It's dangerous. It's absolutely dangerous to eat those tunas. Well, here's the tunas that actually have almost no mercury. That means we actually have choices, but you have to be educated. That's what we're trying to do at Vital Health Radio, is to educate. And so here's the brands that you can eat, which, in fact, since this came out a week ago, I am going to start eating tuna again. And it is the, I'm trying to, actually, the Starkist.
I was wondering where they
only
stood.
This brand, Starkist Select Solid Yellowfin Tuna in olive oil. Never, and I've never seen that. I don't. I guess it's at the store. I'm not a big shopper. And then second is Trader Joe's, and then Chicken of the Sea Cracked Black Pepper Wild Caught Tuna. So it's not like normal names, but those three are the ones that have almost no mercury. So I'm sure we can figure out where we can find those and buy those at.
Is that something you can share on our Facebook page?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I'm going to, no, they won't let me share this, but I can write an article that does share the information.
Okay.
So,
because I'm sure if somebody's out there driving in their car right now, they wouldn't be able to make a note of that. But that's very interesting. I haven't had no idea. Whenever I don't eat much tuna, but whenever I did, I would often get the Starkist.
Uh-huh.
However, I don't know if I was getting the correct one.
No.
If you were going to go to a restaurant and order fish, and you could order any kind of fish you wanted to order, what would you order?
Well, I've had to learn to not be so particular, because we're in a world where, and we are living in Chattanooga. If I lived in a bigger city, I'd have more options, because restaurants in most towns don't have a clue. They order what they think can sell and what makes the most profit. They're not really investigating the health of the food. I mean, I went to Bonefish the other night to get salmon because it's wild caught there. You don't find wild caught salmon almost anywhere anymore. Why? I don't really know, because it is a little more expensive, but not unreasonably more. The fact is that most restaurants brag about the fact that they have farm-raised salmon. Well, I saw a farm-raised salmon farm in Oregon, Portland, Oregon. My daughter, Katie Coleman, graduated for the master's degree with nutrition about 2 or 3 years ago. It was sickening. The salmon are on top of each other. They're eating each other's feces. They're feeding them basically cat food. The water is polluted. You can't create a worse scenario for poor quality food, because what your health is basically based on what the foods you eat ate. And so if those salmon were eating that kind of stuff, that's what is going to equate into your body. And it's really, really sad. So I go and I eat, I will eat salmon as best I can. Now I will eat tilapia and halibut. I don't even look up the numbers anymore, because they're not super healthy. So I've come to a conclusion, if we don't nutritionally supplement, that's the only way to protect yourself, to get the liver to help your body to get rid of the bad things. If you don't supplement with things like milk thistle and a few of the liver herbs, you're just going to be in a bad place. A bad place, my friend.
Yeah.
Well, believe it or not, it is already time to take another break. That's a quick 14 minutes. We come back, we'll be talking more about your nutrition and health. That plus more to come. For Dr. Green, who will be back next week, I'm Ed Jones with Sean, and stay with us.
You're listening to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake. We'll be back after these messages.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake.
Welcome back, and thank you for making us a part of your day. If you're always on the move, download the free radio.com app to your smartphone or tablet. And keep us tuned in each Sunday morning right here on 98.1 The Lake. We are a radio show that's all about your health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and healthy living. I am Ed Jones with Nutrition World here in Chattanooga, normally with my partner, Dr. Green, but today we have Sean Whitfield. But most of the time in this segment, we have Dr. Green, who has his spiritual moment. I will not even pretend to be able to fill his shoes. However, I read something today that was quite meaningful to me, considering the times that we are in. And it was from a website that I think is called Stoics website. And it was very appropriate from what I feel. And it said, the Stoics would shake their heads at what's going on. We don't control what happens. We only control how we respond. They would say, that's what this philosophy is. Marcus Aurelius defined flexibility and resilience as the ability to look a situation in the face and say, you're just what I was looking for. The Stoics knew that the formula for greatness was the ability to turn obstacles into fuel and to see everything as an opportunity to do something. No one is saying this isn't a catastrophe. No one is saying this is fair. But what the Stoics are saying, as they always have, is deal with it. And so we must, not in short bursts, but with sustainable energy and perseverance, with endurance and fortitude, with Churchill's commitment to keep boogering on to the end. I think Dr. Green would like that when he hears it. Don't you, Sean?
Yeah, that was very well said.
Yeah.
A question I had for you, Ed, and you may have talked about this on a past episode of Vital Health Radio. You know, the public officials, CDC, so on, all say that wearing a mask will stop the spread. I know you are a believer in wearing a mask, but how effective do you think a mask really is?
I think number one is, I think the mask's benefit is it's reminding all of us to do everything else right. When we're in groups of people, and I've been there and you have too probably, Sean. I mean, you go to a certain park or you go to an RV place like I did or this or that, and no one's wearing a mask. You kind of flip back into the old world. You really don't think about getting close, or you don't think about washing the hands after touching something. I think the mask is a reminder that we still need to do the right thing. I am convinced that the mask has limited benefit, but it does have some. And the part that it benefits in my mind is that I can assure you that if I don't have a mask and I cough, my breath's going to go about 4 to 5 feet out. If I cough with a mask, it's going to deter some of that velocity. So I think the mask's number one benefit is velocity reduction. Mm-hmm. It is not going to block significantly the small virus. This virus is so small, it's smaller than talcum powder. You can blow talcum powder out of a mask and it goes right through it. So we know it can't block it, but we can block the velocity of it. And I think that's very wise. Mm-hmm. One thing I said on the last Vital Health Radio, which I have heard a couple comments about, and I think you asked me this, Sean, would I send my daughter to school for the upcoming year? I found it very interesting. An hour before I came on the show, Good Morning America host probably didn't expect the CDC director to happily declare that he would send all 11 of his grandkids back to school this fall. She was shocked because she thought it was going to be the same old of panic and no, and, you know, terrifying news. You asked me the same question. My daughter's older now. If she was 11, I would send her on directly into the line of fire with common sense. Common sense is, Katie, wash your hands, keep some distance away. If someone's apparently sick, run from them. Don't stay close, blank, blank, blank. We have lived this entire world of millions of years dealing with viruses and bacteria. They are not the enemy that we tend to label them as. They actually can can, they're part of the process of our life. It just is the way it works. So what we do is we improve the terrain, which is our physical bodies, in order to manage different illnesses, including this one. Chickenpox was the same damn thing. I never gave Katie chickenpox vaccine because she really didn't have it back when she was 1 year old. She's 30 now. But if they did, I still wanted her to get the real chickenpox. And that gives so much better immunity. And yes, there are some people who have a few episodes of severe reactions, but most don't. And again, it's back to the immune system. So, and Dr. McCullough had a wonderful, and I posted it on either the Holistic Navigator and or on Vital Health Radio about returning to school, about the true facts. And this came from the organizations that the public trust. It wasn't something he made up. And first off, it's very hard for young children to be contagious. One, it just is. They just don't harbor it the way that adults do. And one of it's because there's a thing in the body called an ACE2 receptor site. They have the inability to actually hold the virus within that receptor site. We don't. And secondly is when they do get it, being asymptomatic, they now are realizing it is quite difficult to get it from asymptomatic people. Now, the fear mongers will always hold on to all of the panic statements that can be grasped. But the truth is the truth. And we're going to find this truth out with the next coming months. And again, I want to reiterate the level of concern in Hamilton County is so far less than what the media is projecting. So 4,100 people have been tested positive. Again, 38.5% are in nursing homes, so we can reduce that by 38.5%. Again, not negating their pain and suffering. And you brought up the fact that in Hamilton County, there's 380,000. Is that what you said, John?
368,000.
368,000 people. So 4,100 has been tested positive. Take the nursing home 38% away and take the fact that some of these tests are literally false positives, which are about 20%. So we're down to about 2,000 people out of 368,000 who have even been tested positive. The death rate's 0.8% people. That means 99.2% are not going to die. And so, and yet we're destroying the economy. We're causing people grief. We're putting people behind doors. We're making people run for their lives. Now, people who are susceptible to immune disorders, they probably should stay home. Heck yeah. But that doesn't mean that the rest of us should be quarantined. It just simply doesn't.
Yeah. I've got one quick question. A friend of mine asked me this the other day to ask you this question. 52 years old. Her physician is advising her to take the shingles vaccine. She's never had shingles, but you often hear people in their 50s getting shingles. What's your opinion?
I am deeply concerned about the ingredients that vaccine manufacturers use, and I want everyone to know this, and many do. The only company in this entire world that has been legally exempted from lawsuits is vaccine manufacturers. They cannot be sued. I don't care if 10,000 people died from a bad vaccine. They cannot be sued. It is scary stuff. They put thimerosal, mercury, aluminum into these vaccines. It's really not the vaccine that's the problem. It's the ingredients. Now, saying all of that, I think if a person is 60 or 55 plus, they have immune disorders, shingles is not a pleasant thing. I really believe that you weigh risk against benefit on everything. I don't care if it's from a colonoscopy to a toenail being removed. You weigh the risk against benefit. Sometimes the risk is too great, and I will not choose it. I think with shingles, if it's the appropriate person, it would be a vaccine I would recommend. I actually recommend it to some of my older relatives. I don't believe the flu vaccine is one I do recommend. I don't like that one, but I do recommend the shingles, and I will not. You can mark your word on this. Unless I was paid millions, there will not be a COVID injection into Edward Jones this day or ever. And I am glad I don't work for healthcare people or the government, because it ain't going to happen, people. This is the greatest guinea pig test of the entire history of mankind will be coming out. Believe it or not, that does it for this week's edition, Sean, of Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial 98.1 The Lake. It is a production from the Whitfield Media Group and website by Avalon Design Studio. Thank you for listening. We'll be back here next week for a radio show that's all about your healthy living. For Dr. Christopher Green from CHI Memorial, Georgia, I'm Ed Jones from Nutrition World at nutritionw.com, and have a healthy and safe and panic-free day. Keep the calmness, people. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake with Ed Jones and Dr. Christopher Green. Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake, is a production of Whitfield Media Group. Join us next Sunday morning at 9 a.m. and have a great weekend.